out of a city or town. The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Always an honor and a privilege for me to do so. For those of you who don't know me, I reside in Pensacola, Florida. I'm the owner of a small business, insurance and financial services, and I've been doing that for 36 years now. Prior to that, I was active duty Air Force, an officer in the Air Force, after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I also served as an elected official in the Florida State House from 2013 through 2020, being first elected in District 2 and then in District 1. So it's always a privilege for me to sit in for Dr. Youngblood, who does such a fantastic job each day discussing the issues of the day and how we as Christians should respond to those issues. We're going to change course just a little bit. Prior to the break, we were talking about how Democrats are trying their best to scrub American history of its Christian roots, but which, if anyone knows the truth, you can't do. It's impossible, because this was indeed founded as a Christian nation. Now, here are some topics I'd like us to discuss, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. If you would like to join the discussion, call in at 904-831-0917 with your questions or your thoughts. Again, 904-831-0917. Here's a title that says, Amid Combative Iranian Rhetoric, The peace deal proceeds. Well, I know I certainly hope so. I hope that it is, and I believe that it is. For some reason, the Democrats don't want it to. The Democrats don't even want the United States to win, even though we have won already. This was one of the shortest excursions, shortest wars that the United States has engaged in. And the left is trying their best to say that we did not win, when instead it was a resounding victory with very little loss of American lives. Now, any life that is lost is a tragedy to that family and to our nation. But from what I can recall from reading news articles and so forth, that has probably been less than 20 who have been either killed or injured since this war with Iran broke out. And again, it's a tragedy for each family and for our nation, each of those lives that were hurt, that were destroyed. And we look at our prior conflicts. Ladies and gentlemen, 20 is how many we would lose in an hour, in half an hour. And now over this entire period of this war, which is 5 months now, going on 6 months, we've hardly lost that at all. So it is a resounding victory for the United States and for the world that it has done. Now, Iran is not going away quietly. So 6 days after President Trump formally agreed to a 14-point Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, with Iran to establish a framework for peace and ongoing negotiations over its nuclear program, the American leaders, as Trump announced Tuesday, that the Islamist regime has agreed to allow nuclear inspectors into the country, even as more Iranian officials disputed the claim. Lawmakers and experts are expressing hope, but remain highly very wary of whether the peace plan will unfold to the advantage of the U.S. Of course, it's going to unfold to our advantage. And Trump says if it doesn't, he'll just go back in with the military might that we've already displayed again. So we have these Islamic leaders, some of them, not all, but are being very combative, where, you know, they're just beating their chest. They're trying to show that they will not bow to the great Satan. That's what they call the United States. They will not bow to us. So they beat their chest and they say all this nonsense that isn't even true. What we need to do, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is we need to remove the Islamic, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard from leadership completely. Remove that regime. The Iranian people don't want them. And instead, let the Iranian people elect who they want or select who they want. It's up to that nation, however they want to do it, who they're real leaders are, not these Islamic extremists, which have held that nation, the Middle East, and much of the world hostage for the last 50 years with their terror. We have decimated their ability to carry out their terror attacks, and that includes in Lebanon, where Israel is taking on Hezbollah, which is a proxy from Iran. Iran is just exporting that terror to Lebanon through Hezbollah, which has the same objective that Iran has, and that is to remove Israel and then attack the United States and to spread radical Muslim rhetoric throughout the world. That is their goal. So Israel is now taking care of Hezbollah. And I can't see or, of course, partake in everything that goes on behind the scenes, but I think it is important for Israel to continue what they are doing and to decimate Hezbollah out of Lebanon. And I don't agree with Trump on this one point where he's saying that Israel needs to stand down. I don't agree with that. Because here is Hezbollah launching rockets into Israel. Israel has a right to respond, just like the U.S. responded when Israel used a drone to shoot down one of our helicopters, and the United States responded. Israel has the same right and the same duty and obligation to respond when Hezbollah does the same thing. Now, under the agreement, Washington also agreed to waive sanctions against Tehran for 60 days as negotiations move forward. But according to a Reuters report, Iran stated and this is quoted, it had not agreed to invite back International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors. Trump responded on Truth Social saying that Iran was making false statements and insisting that the regime has fully and completely agreed to the highest level nuclear inspections long into the future. And Trump put in quotation marks, infinity, in other words, forever. But we are not going to allow them to ever develop or build a nuclear weapon. Now, Trump is saying that we are going to inspect, we're not going to allow, but here are some of these folks in Iran stated that, no, we didn't agree to that. What are your thoughts, ladies and gentlemen? Who's telling the truth about this? You can call in at 904-831-0917. The president further emphasized that the $12 billion in Iranian assets that have been unfrozen as part of the deal would only, this is amazing, would only be authorized to be used to buy American-made medical supplies and food, including corn, wheat, and soybeans. But Iran also disputed this point with Tehran's UN ambassador, Ali Bahraini, asserting that Iran is the only country to decide what to do with its assets. I reject any claim about that if there would be any role for any other country to have influence on those decisions or on those processes. Well, right there, Mr. Ambassador, you're wrong. Because those assets are frozen, and they remain frozen until the U.S. says so. That right away is showing that we do have influence on the decisions and processes. And so here Trump is saying that, okay, we'll unfreeze those assets, but you're going to buy American. You're going to buy American-made medical supplies and food. By the way, that makes sure that the money is not going back to that Islamic regime that is causing so much terror and destruction, and instead it's going to go to the Iranian people who need it. Medical supplies and food, including corn, wheat, and soybeans. So it looks like that things are going well despite what the Iranians are saying with this entire situation. Now, here is Tony Perkins, who authors the Washington Watch, which I'm reading from their article right now. The Memorandum of Understanding, this is Tony Perkins speaking, reopens the Strait of Hormuz, which is a good thing, and it lets Iran sell its oil on the world market, which I argue, this is Tony Perkins speaking, is also a good thing. They were selling it before the Strait of Hormuz was open. We can say it was sanctioned, but they were just selling it to China at a discounted price, which frankly hurt America because that oil wasn't on the world market. I think some people are getting wrapped around the axle, this is Tony Perkins speaking, with some of the paragraphs say, and I understand that they are concerned, but I'm going to be focused on what's in the final deal. This is Tony Perkins. And looming large over the deal has been an ongoing conflict between Israel and Lebanon-based Iran-backed terrorist group Hezbollah, which has persistently attacked Israel with missiles from across its northern border, Israel's northern border. Since the October 7, 2023 Hamas terror attack on a Jewish state. Now, part of the MOU stipulations are that military activity in Lebanon will cease, but Israeli retaliatory strikes against Hezbollah for its ongoing attacks have complicated the deal. Ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm not part of negotiations or anything, and this is Mike Hill speaking, but I would think that should not have been made a part of the deal at all. This should have been between the United States and Iran. What was going on between Lebanon and Israel should not have been part of the deal at all. Other than here Iran is, they're backing Hezbollah, these terrorists, who are launching missiles into Israel, and Israel is retaliating. That should not have been a part of the deal, in my mind. But again, I wasn't in the room, and so I don't know all the nuances that goes on there. Back to the article. Reuters reports that the latest ceasefire between the two sides has largely held in southern Lebanon since Sunday, although Israel has insisted it will maintain a security zone in southern Lebanon and continue to neutralize threats against Israeli soldiers and citizens. And to that I say amen. They have a right to do it. Now let's change subjects just a little bit. This is an interesting topic, and it poses the question, the fall of pride? Are we seeing the fall of pride, at least in the U.S.? And the article is about how corporations are backing down, it seems, this year during Pride Month, even though some are also doubling down. But what we are seeing is this evolving corporate response to transgender issues and whether consumer boycotts can truly make a difference while avoiding every woke company may not be realistic. What we need to look at are practical approaches to being more intentional and responsible with where you spend your money. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Are you seeing less of the pride celebration in your area? I think I have here in the Pensacola area. Even though I don't shop at Target because of their past support for LGBTQ, I don't shop at Target at all. I haven't heard about how they are promoting the transgender, the LGBTQ agenda as forcefully as they were doing last year, even where they had displays as you first walked into the store for transgender wear and swimwear and so forth. I'm not hearing any reports of that this year coming from the Target in Pensacola. I don't know if they've had a parade here in Pensacola. And that's probably because I just don't head to downtown Pensacola that often. And that's because of who we have now as our mayor and as our city council, but that's a whole nother story. But are you seeing less of a celebration of pride during this month? I know that there are some states, I believe it was Indiana, and I want to say Ohio, who are calling June Family Celebration Month instead of Pride Month. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. More and more states should do that. In fact, we should make that a national proclamation. June is Family Celebration Month. Family being defined as a man and a woman in a marriage with children that they are raising up in the admonition of the Lord. That is my take on it, and I think we should continue going in that route. Now, as we move on, here's another headline. The next Gutenberg moment. Why Christians should lead the AI storytelling revolution. Of course, Gutenberg was who invented the printing press, and coming from that were the Bible being reprinted and print it so that in mass, so that now the people could have access to it. And then there were those who would translate it into English. And because of the printing press, that the masses now held the Bible in their hands, could read it for themselves. And I would say, ladies and gentlemen, that that is a great reason why the Reformation took place, a great reason why our founding fathers left Europe, came to these shores to set up a nation where they could worship Jesus in spirit and in truth and form this great nation that we are so privileged to live in now. That was all the result of the invention of the printing press, the Gutenberg printing press. Now, this article is positing that Christians should lead in the AI storytelling revolution. For more than a century, Hollywood has shaped how Americans imagine love, marriage, family, justice, courage, sacrifice, and even God. Films have done more than entertain us. They have helped define our culture's heroes and villains, aspirations and fears, virtues and vices. Now, another revolution is upon us, the AI revolution. On June 22nd, Google announced a $75 million investment in acclaimed independent studio A24, partnering with its DeepMind unit to develop artificial intelligence tools for filmmakers. It marks the first time the technology giant has taken a stake in a movie studio. The stated goal, to build new workflows, tools, and techniques for filming and distribution. The article goes on to say that is not merely a business transaction. It is a declaration that powerful institutions understand the battle for storytelling has begun, and Christians should not miss it. 500 years ago, another invention transformed civilization. Most Christians remember what the Gutenberg printing press produced: Bibles, theological works, and Reformation literature. But the press did something even more significant. It democratized communication. The ability to publish ideas no longer belonged only to government universities and wealthy patrons. Ordinary men and women could suddenly participate in shaping public thought. Artificial intelligence may do something similar for visual storytelling. And for decades, producing a high-quality film required enormous budgets, specialized equipment, and access to Hollywood's tightly controlled ecosystem. Those barriers are falling. Small production companies, churches, ministries, Christian schools, and gifted individuals are gaining access to tools that only major studios could afford a few years ago. That carries real risk. We have already seen artificial intelligence used to generate deceptive images, imitate voices, spread misinformation, and produce content that degrades rather than elevates human dignity. And these dangers are genuine. The author of this article goes on to say, I have warned about them repeatedly because Christians must never confuse technological wonder with wisdom. But caution must not become paralysis. In AI for Mankind's Future, here's the author of this article, argued that artificial intelligence must remain a tool under human stewardship, guided by moral truth, rather than treated as an authority in itself. That principle applies directly to storytelling. Technology can assist creativity, but it cannot supply truth. It cannot know grace, repentance, forgiveness, sacrifice, or redemption. The author goes on to say, I also argue in the new AI Cold War that this competition will not be decided solely by faster chips, larger data centers, or military platforms. It will also be shaped by the stories that form the next generation. Every civilization tells stories that teach people what is true, what is just, what is beautiful, what is evil, and what is worth dying for. Authoritarian governments understand that. Hollywood has long understood it. Silicon Valley understands it now. Christians should understand it better than anyone. God has always used stories to shape his people. Before Israel possessed kings, it possessed stories. Jesus could deliver abstract lectures, yet he most often taught through parables. The prophet Nathan confronted King David, not with a policy argument, but with the story of a rich man who stole a poor man's lamb. The Bible itself unfolds as the greatest story ever told, revealing God's plan of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. Technology never determines the message, it amplifies it, and Christians should be involved in that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill. I've been sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. I'm going to leave you with this scripture verse from Psalm 94:16. Psalm 94:16 says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" Let's answer that with a resounding, "Here am I, Lord, I will stand up. I will stand in the gap, and I encourage you to do the same." Again, Mike Hill, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Have a blessed day.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.